Welcome in, Lineup Logic fans, to Week 16, the penultimate week in the National Football League. This is the Fantasy Fade Route. I am Kwafo Adakwa, otherwise known as Spartanzilla. Joining me this week, the full gang, the full complement is here. We have Roto underscore Juan. Mike Alexander, what's up?
Kwafo, what's up, man?
Good, I'm good. And at J. Moschelle, Mr. Jason Moschelle, what's up with you today?
Has nothing to do with the Patriots losing again.
I love it. He's already feisty. I love it. I love it. We start the week off right, so that's good. Week 15 continues the trend of we have no idea how to look at this league. This is a crazy league. It's a week-to-week league. You don't know what's going on. Just when you think you know what's happening, all sorts of stuff come out. But we'll get into that in a little bit. As always, we'd like to start with a reminder. For those who haven't joined yet, please, you got to really consider doing it. We're getting to the end of the football season, but there's more stuff there to do and more sports to grind in. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. $10 a month gets you access to the Slack channel with all of your fine hosts of this show involved, a host of other shows. There's sports galore from MMA to the English Premier League to the NBA. Tools, tricks, and tips. That's kind of hard to say at this time taping. Just a variety of people that you want to get involved with, and a very, very good way to spend your time if you're going to be involved in DFS. So patreon.com/lineuplogic, $10 a month, get the access to all that stuff and more. So feel free to sign up and enjoy that. Also, for those of you who are downloading this podcast, boy, I am really struggling this night. If you could, please give us a like or a view wherever you listen to this fine podcast. Really goes a long way to help us out. We've gone almost a full season giving you stuff, so it is your social contract, as one of my co-hosts likes to say. If you're going to listen, at least give us a like and a review on your various sites. So with that, Mike, you want to talk a little bit about our lowball contest for last week?
Yeah, we got solid about 10 people. Some interesting scores in there. Pretty tight grouping, except for the winner, Kenny 1269, with a nice 68.88 points, or I guess just shy of nice. But yeah, really, really solid bad lineup by Kenny there. So if you want to step forward, Kenny, Kwafo might hook you up with something. You can just hit us up on the Twitter machine.
I got you, Kenny. Don't worry about it. You want to be done in some green and white? It's coming your way. So just you know how to get a hold of us, and we'll take care of you.
So yeah, it seemed like everybody enjoyed it. We'll run it back this week with another low ball tournament. See who can be the best at being the worst.
And you mentioned it is hard to do. I finished first, meaning I had the most points, but I finished last. And actually, if I had played that craptastic lineup in some other tournaments, I might have done better on Sunday. So it's just a bizarre thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I mentioned it on the air. We with some friends, we do a high-low tournament. So there's a pot for both the high and the low. And right. There's weeks where you're going for the low and you end up being top five, and vice versa. There's somebody who wins the low pot who is trying to put together a good lineup.
Exactly. It's fun. It's fun. So you guys jump in and we'll figure out what we can find from the prize closet for week 16 too. So we'll get something out there. As we like to do on this show as well, it's been a tradition over the 15 weeks. Let's take a look back. I need to give this person a little bit of time to vent. So, Mr. Moschelle, the floor is yours
for week 15. I just wanted to talk about, like, obviously it was, like, a real crap week for just football in general. Like, scores were low. Quarterbacks, like, I mean, Matt Ryan was the number one quarterback, right? And he had, like, 200 passing yards and a couple touchdowns. Like, it's pretty bad. But if I were to tell you that my running back core had you know, like 90 touches and 20 receptions. Sounds like pretty good, right? You know? What if I told you my wide receiver core had over 30 targets?
I think you were doing like right.
Good,
yeah.
Sounds like a good, good. Sounds like a good cash core, right? Yeah, scored like 89 points. I mean,
did you not use the Falcons defense?
I did not. That was an obvious play, but whatever.
You know what was funny is like Kenny1269 actually used the Falcons defense in his low ball. So he could have really been down at like the 50 point mark.
He did the same thing that I did though. He looked at which actually he didn't do the same thing. Because I stacked Tampa Bay. Yeah. And, so Winston, Godwin, and Evans. And Evans catches a 65-yard bomb.
Yeah.
That just totally screwed me out of that contest.
Yeah, I think I used Evans in there.
I think I did too. I was like, you know, it's Tampa. They're on the way out. Like, but that's why they play the game. So, all right. So, rant over. But there'll be more rants later on in the show, I'm sure.
No, I mean, honestly, like when you look at that, when you if you were to look at my lineup, it was like Amari Cooper. I'll go over the actual players: Amari Cooper, Edelman, and Josh Reynolds, and then Saquon, Zeke, and Dalvin Cook. And that was like kind of what I went with. We talked on Slack a lot about like Dalvin Cook, like Sunday morning, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Saquon, Zeke, Tevin Coleman came up. We hit on like a lot of like these high floor, high ceiling plays, and you know the opportunity was there. I actually went from Mixon to Cook, but it's just like, man, like process over results.
Yeah,
when you have that much opportunity in a lineup, the statistical probability that it's going to fail like that is very, 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 very low, you know?
Yeah, yeah, the bottom fell out for so many big names. Like, usually there's at least a floor there, you know, of double-digit points. A guy like Saquon doesn't even crack double digits for you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, sunk a lot of season-long lineups as well, too. So, was not a great week for fantasy by any stretch of imagination. Okay, Mike, did you have anything from Week 15 to...
Yeah, you know, I was kind of lucky. I played some Matt Ryan. I was pretty high on him, so it was...
Did you say you were pretty high or high on him?
High, yeah.
Okay.
Matt Ryan. To play Matt Ryan. And, you know, maybe it was the opposite. It was results over process, but I got a couple of the nuts right, and, you know, that helped.
Yeah. It was just a overall, you know, tough week as has been described, but that's why we're playing DFS. So your season's not over if you're playing DFS. You've got these last two regular season weeks, and you have playoff DFS, which is a lot of fun. I think we'll probably give you a couple bits of content as we go through the playoff season, because that'll be a lot of fun too. So some abbreviated pods probably in the offing when we get there. So let's walk game by game. We will give you the over unders. We'll give you the Vegas line, and we will give you a fade, a lock, and a sleeper, as you've come to expect from this show. So let's get started. We start on Saturday night, getting close to Christmas. The Washington Redskins are going to Tennessee to take on the resurgent Titans. The over-under is 37. Tennessee is 10.5-point favorites in Music City. Mike, this week, why don't you cover the fade? So start in this Washington-Tennessee matchup. Who are you fading?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Neither of these teams, a ton of offensive output, really low total there. Tennessee favored by a lot. So, you know, you kind of have to respect the running game. Over on the Washington side, Josh Johnson can get it done with the legs, so you can't really fade him. It seems like Adrian Peterson has run out of gas. And, you know, we saw the Titans kind of play over their heads. So they should not have done what they were able to do to Saquon Barkley. But they have been a solid run unit. They do make the game ugly. They want to run the ball a lot. They want to keep the other team from having the ball. So that just limits the entire Redskins offense and Peterson's touches altogether, which he needs. He needs to get a ton of carries and get red zone opportunities, which I don't see happening here.
Yep, that's a solid fade. I have him down as my fade as well. In this matchup where it's hard to find a lock, I'm going to go with the hot hand. Derrick Henry is my lock of this matchup. Why not, you know? If you had told me we'd be at week 16 and we'd be talking about Lock and Derrick Henry, I'd be like, yeah, I don't know what game you're playing, but results have been shown over the last 2 weeks. You know, a lot of people didn't want to ride the train in week 15, and from a season-long perspective, I was on the other end of getting smashed by Derrick Henry in week 15, so give me him as a lock. Jason, where you want to go with a sleeper in this one?
Man, these are two terrible teams.
Well, Tennessee's fighting for a playoff spot, so they may be terrible, but they may end up sneaking in the playoffs again.
Oh, man.
Tennessee got you choked up.
Yeah. I'm looking. I didn't finish my matchups. My matchup sheet. So I'm just like trying to go over. I want one of the tight ends. I'm just not sure which one it is because both teams kind of look about the same.
So you're looking at Firkser or Davis, huh?
Yeah, I went with Firkser last week. That's worked out great.
Yeah, that hurts.
I might go back to Firkser because I haven't looked at his price yet, but he's probably going to be way down there at the bottom. And with tight ends, you know, especially like cash games, I really want to pay all the way up for a Kelce or, you know, a Kittle, or I just want to go like straight down to the bottom. And that's what I did last week. And, you know, like, yeah, Firkser got zero for me. But, you know, the top tight end only got, like, I mean, unless you played Selleck, you know, which nobody did, probably 10 points.
Yeah, Firkser's only 30.
That's kind of been the story. Like, there's a couple tight ends that you can, you know, pencil in for points. And then everybody else is just like, eh. A touchdown or nothing. So I'd probably go back to Firkser.
Yeah, he's only 3,500 on DK, so not a bad play on the two game slate.
Yeah, I think that's a definite look. Tennessee uses the tight end quite a bit. 412 yards, two touchdowns in the last five games. Washington equally 321 yards, three touchdowns in the last five games. No more Jordan Reed.
Come here, pup.
Pretty sure he's not going to be playing the rest of the year.
Come here, Doug.
So,
all right.
Yeah, probably Firkser is probably going to be my sleeper on this one.
There you have it. All right. Let's move on to the other Saturday game. Baltimore goes out to the StubHub Center in Carson to take on the L.A. Chargers, who are one of the hottest teams in football. The over-under is 45. The Chargers are 4.5-point favorites. And I don't even really want to call that a home stadium, but it's it's what it is. Mike, fade us away. And this would be a really good game, I think, to watch for those that are done with Christmas shopping and maybe just settling in. So
yeah, this is a good spot here, prime time. Ravens defense, not quite as good on the road, in my opinion. The Chargers, coming off that big win, they got the big mo on their side. All that being said, it scares me to play Lamar Jackson in this matchup. He does have the rushing floor, yes. The Chargers defense, while it's improving, is not going to scare anybody. You know, if the Chargers get out in front early, I'm just kind of terrified of what Lamar Jackson in a comeback could look like. You know, he could look really good, just, you know, creating with his legs out of the pocket, but he's also shown, you know, he's not where he needs to be as an NFL passer. Could definitely throw some picks. You know, he hasn't dealt with pressure that well at times. So I'm going to stay away from Lamar Jackson, even with the rushing floor he has.
That was my fate as well, too. I'm a believer in LA's defense right now. So they have pretty much what it takes, I think, to maybe get to the bowl. So, I mean, they're really good. For me, my lock, until I kind of did a little bit more scanning, was going to be Gus Edwards. You know, but again, I'm kind of on that Charger D, and then I look at the notifications and updates, and Mr. Melvin Gordon was running at full speed at practice. If he could have only done that for me last week, I might still be alive and season long. But that being said, let's go with Melvin Gordon over Gus Edwards as the lock. If he goes, you know, Baltimore has a very, very stout defense as well, but I like Gordon, you know, with a couple weeks rest here. Coming off the injury, if he goes, he's the lock for me. What about a sleeper in this one, Jason?
I like your lock.
I figured you would. So. Figured you would.
It's a tough matchup, but it's at home, so I like that. I like that. My sleeper, with that Lamar Jackson fade kind of thing, you know, he's exhibited like a really high floor, but he's had some great matchups,
yeah,
and has not exhibited a ceiling at all.
And they've been out ahead early in every game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Maybe he is just our running back. I don't know, but there's going to be a lot of Mike Williams talk. there's going to be a lot of Mike Williams talk, especially if Keenan went out last game.
Uh-huh.
Mike Williams had a blow up spot. Tyrell got 12 targets.
Yeah, they definitely looked his way a lot.
And Tyrell was the number one when Keenan went out a couple of years ago. So that's kind of where I'm going here. Like, if you're playing this two-game slate, you got to have some kind of upside, and you got to have some kind of stability. And, you know,
it's a nice pivot.
Mike Williams stole a touchdown from Tyrell 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, that end zone target that Mike Williams dropped, you know, he's 6'4". He's going to jump up and get it if it's close to him. But Tyrell was streaking across the back of the end zone,
yeah,
wide open. That pass was to him, and you could see it when Phillip Rivers started freaking out.
But Tyrell's a good price for Saturday, too. He's only 5,400 on DK, so yeah, I don't mind that as a sleeper at all.
I'm a huge Tyrell fan. I've had him on every single one of my teams almost since he came out as a rookie. Just one of those big play guys, huge upside. And if he's going to get the targets and have that huge upside, it just makes for a great situation.
There you go. All right. Good game. It'll be a good game to watch. Very good game to watch. All right, let's go to a game that's not going to be good to watch. Green Bay going to the Jets in the battle for nothing. The over-under is 43.5. Green Bay, road favorite, 3.5-point favorite. Mike, there's got to be players you can fade in this one.
Yeah, we're all kind of holding our breath on Aaron Rodgers, waiting to see if they're going to trot him out. Not really anything to play for. You know, personally, I think he should be shut down with the knee injury he had earlier. Just, you know, get to next season. But if he is out, then that's a lot of Green Bay getting fadeable. But the assumption is right now, I guess, that he's going to play. We'll have to stick with that.
Can I insert something here?
Yeah, go ahead.
The line has actually gone from it's become a pick 'em, 21 and three quarters to 21 and three quarters.
Yeah, I think people are hedging that there's going to be no Rodgers.
Yeah, it's a 2.8 movement down on Green Bay.
Yeah,
that's so. Yeah, it's huge on Tuesday. I mean,
so they might know something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if Rodgers is out, the only passing game option that's really safe is Devontae Adams because of the touchdown, you know, equity that he brings. It's just he got it done last year without Rodgers, scored touchdowns. I probably don't, you know, he's been called matchup proof all weekend because of what he did against a good Bears defense, but you know, you're losing your quarterback, and the Jets defense is playing okay. They're putting effort forth with you know, middling talent. So, you know, that's a tough spot. But
so Rodgers is your fade. I could get behind that, and if you know, and if he doesn't go, maybe Devontae, you're fading. If Rodgers doesn't go,
yeah, basically all of Green Bay.
Okay, all right, fantastic. No offense to people in Wisconsin, our listeners in Wisconsin. I'm going to lock Devontae because I kind of do feel he's matchup proof. I mean, I don't know if they got back there anymore behind Aaron Rodgers, but because they got rid of Brett Hundley. So either that being said, if they're going to move the ball at all through the air, or if they're going to move the ball, period. Because I know Aaron
Kizer.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, well,
Kizer.
Well, yeah, and it's almost like Kaiser Sose, right, on this one. So, I'm going to still go with Devontae Adams. I mean, I can't bring myself to locking any Jets, even with the way they played last week. So, give me Adams and just, you know, maybe Joe Philbin. We know he's not a good coach. And he'll probably throw Rodgers in there. So, I'm just banking on that. So, we'll go with Devontae. Sleeper in this one, Jason.
Is it hold on. Let me look at where it's at.
It's in New York. Yeah, it's in New York.
It's at the Meadowlands.
East
Rutherford,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking probably McGuire, actually.
Okay.
I like Jamal. He's gonna be terrible, but he's gonna probably see like 900 carries.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jets are actually pretty good against the run. And away game. I kind of like Elijah McGuire here. That Jets running back core is totally beat up. Robbie Anderson also. I don't know why he's not a lock here.
Yeah, I had him as a sleeper. I had Robbie as a sleeper just because it seems like him and Darnold. You know, kind of where they were in the preseason, kind of the last couple of weeks have kind of hooked up again. So
I had at the beginning of the season, they were really limiting Darnold throwing downfield.
Right.
So Robbie wasn't a factor. Right. And, you know, kind of they got some flashes in the midseason. And then that seems to be what's going on again. He's been pretty good the last couple of games.
Couple ways there for the listeners, we'll
call it double sleeper.
Double sleeper.
Both on the Jets side.
fantastic. All right, let's move on to the Bataan Death March. That is Minnesota going to Detroit to woefully end the season for the Lions. The over-under is 43.5. The Vikings are 6-point favorites from what I have. Mike, you should be able to figure out some easy fades in this one.
Yeah, you would think there's a lot of stuff on the Detroit side that you could fade. What scares me is this kind of feels like a trap game. You know, the Lions coming in, it's one of their last games. They can play spoiler. They're playing, I don't want to say better. I think that's too strong
of
a word.
That's not the right word for them.
Not as bad.
That might be better. It might be getting closer.
But yeah, against this defense, I think Matt Stafford's probably not going to have a ton of success, so he's a pretty easy fade.
I mean, with all these people sitting there, QBs, I mean, Detroit, what are you doing? Like, there's no reason to play this guy at this point. Like, just sit him down. Let's just reboot and recalibrate for next year. So, for me, I'm locking Stephon Diggs. I mean, he may see big play Slay, but there are some big play Slay bobbleheads in my house that that may need to find another home based on the performance, not of him this season, but just of the team in general. But I think I like Diggs in this matchup against the Lions with not much to play for except for pride and on short order and some of that. You know, they went up to Buffalo last week, and I know they played strong at least, but weren't able to pull out the victory. So I'm going with Diggs in this one. You should be able to find some sleepers here, Jason. Where are you going in this matchup?
Probably Adam Thielen.
Okay.
I mean, he's been really bad the last, like, what, like 3 or 4 weeks now?
Yeah.
After basically leading the league for the first 8 or 9 weeks. Seems like a get right spot for him. I'm so concerned about this game. This is one of those games that, like, when I project it, like, I haven't done my weekly projections yet, but I kind of feel like this is like that that Philly Rams game, where, you know, I had Philly as a winner. Boom, nailed it. But it was
what? Let me just. I mean, I guess for both of you, real quick, and then we'll get off this game. What are you seeing, maybe that I'm not seeing? And granted, I may be clouded. What are you seeing on the Detroit side of the ball that would give you any confidence that they could either hold Dalvin Cook in check, be representative? I mean, they have really not a way to move the football, and Minnesota's got a great defense, or a better defense. I mean, not great, but better defense than I think they're giving credit for here in the latter part of the season. So what are you guys seeing? I'll start with you, Mike, real quick.
I think Detroit is they're just going to be in the
Or Jason, either one of you.
Mike doesn't see anything. So I'm just looking at – so when I do – so I do my projections, and I do like – so I have like this stupid system that I do that – whatever, I'm incorporating the DVOA, the red zone targets, like seeing who's like actually getting an opportunity. I incorporate like the home road splits, seeing who's doing well, what recent performances, stuff like that. And I basically like take my projections. And so when I do a matchup to project like a point total for the game, I kind of distill all that information into just fantasy points per game, I guess. It's kind of a rude version of fantasy points per game. So I get an average of that, and then figure in the matchup, and then figure out how many total fantasy points. I think it's a really like crude way of doing it, but kind of figure out the total fantasy points I expect from each team, and then distill that into a score. And I actually think Detroit's a good team. I think Minnesota has been very disappointing lately, and they're on the road. Detroit, typically, a lot better at home. So we'll see when I actually do those projections, whether I like one team or the other. But I do kind of think, like, this is going to be one of those ones where, you know, the underdog could take it. It could just, you know, like Mike said, probably a trap game. Right. Like, you think Minnesota is going to perform, and then Detroit pulls it out.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it for me. You know, it's they're on the road there going into Detroit. Detroit gets to play spoiler a little bit. And the Vikings have just been such a letdown in so many spots this season. I mean, they lost to Buffalo. The Bills at home, you know. Yeah, like,
I mean,
and you know, beyond that, I lost an in-season matchup on ESPN's league where I had the Vikings defense when they played the Rams, and they gave me a -9 because they gave up 500 yards and
right.
You know.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we spent way too much time on that one, but I just. I don't see it. No, I get it. I just don't see it. So,
can we keep crapping on the Lions?
Well, it's happened for 50 years. So
we're saying the Lions could probably win this game, and you're right. Like, oh, I don't see it.
Welcome to Lions fandom. That's what it's like to be a Lions fan. Let's move on to a game that should be also fun. Buffalo going to New England to take on the angry Patriots. I've got 45 as the over-under. I've got New England by almost 2 touchdowns, 13-point favorites. Mike, who are you fading in this matchup?
Tough spot to fade someone. The numbers are weird on this one. You know, you got a 44.5 is the total I'm saying, with the Patriots favored by 13. So that seems like a good spot for them. But the Buffalo defense, I think, has gotten better as the season has gone on, and is a fairly good defense. They also play a really stymieing kind of football, which I could see the Patriots playing back into. And just being content to win like a 20-13 game. There's kind of got to be a sweet spot, though, I think, with Josh Allen. Like, you don't, in a game that's too close, they're not going to put the pressure on at all. You know, they're going to just play it safe, kind of like they did, and they lost 14-13 this week. If the Patriots get too far ahead, like, Josh Allen could go full dumpster fire and throw 4 picks. But yeah, as far as a fade goes, I'm gonna fade Zay Jones. It seems like some other receivers in that receiving core have definitely stepped up. Robert Foster, kind of a big athletic receiver, he's developed a rapport with Allen, and Isaiah McKenzie, if he's healthy this week. I know he left the game for a bit there. I haven't followed up on that yet, but he's athletic. They like what he does out of the slot. So those guys have kind of usurped a lot of targets from Zay Jones.
Yeah. All right. For me, it's going to be a very bizarre lock, but nonetheless, I'm going to take it. I'm going to go with Tom Terrific. I'm going to go with Brady. He hasn't looked right over the last 3-4 weeks. He looked pretty bad, pretty pedestrian against Pittsburgh, even in the clutch situation where he usually comes through that pretty bad ball down near the end zone. It's but these are the spots. Yeah, well, I know, right? TB12 and doing his shows and whatnot. But I kind of get a sneaking suspicion that the Patriots are going to go out and say, all right, we don't want to be playing on wild card weekend. We need to go ahead and take care of business. I feel like this is a get right spot for Brady and the Patriots. So give me Tom Terrific as my lock. All right, you know this team very well, Jason. And you know this matchup being a divisional matchup. Who was your sleeper in this one?
Who's my sleeper in this one? I kind of like McKenzie as my sleeper. Okay. We talked about him quite a bit on the Slack chat on Sunday. I know Mike already mentioned him, but
yeah, all right.
I mean, that's where I'm going. Just his involvement in the offense especially with that one dude, LeSean McCoy. Can't ever remember these stud guys that have been around the league for 10 years. But with him banged up, what is it? It's going to be Ivory, maybe.
Yeah, and, Murphy for them. He went on IR today.
Yeah, he went on IR today.
Murphy went on IR. So McKenzie's been getting a lot of these extracurricular rushing activities, is what we'll call them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I really like him again this week.
Sounds
really
good.
Really, man, the Patriots have looked so bad, but we're back at home, so hopefully we can right the ship with a couple divisional mashups coming up.
Yeah, and like this happens with the Patriots, like almost every season. I feel like they just have this stretch where you're like, why did we ever think this team was good? They get home, all of a sudden, turn it around, and you're like, oh wait, yeah, they're gonna go deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, all they need to do is to stay away from Wild Card Weekend, and they'll be fine.
We usually have double digit wins by this point in the season too.
Right.
We don't have that this year.
Yeah, I mean, all they need to do is stay afloat and make sure that they're going to win the division. Miami's not going to catch them, so they just need to make sure they go ahead and handle our business, and they'll be fine. So, all right.
With the Pats, like, you can go back to like pretty much the whole 20 years that Brady and Belichick have been there, And if they get home field advantage, they go to the Super Bowl. And if they don't, they're out. Yeah. I mean, just kind of how it's gone.
Yeah.
For 20 years. Yeah. So
probably the way it'll go this year, too. Yep. So, all right, we'll move on to a game that means nothing to either of these teams at this point. Atlanta at Carolina. I've got an over-under of 47.5. Carolina, for whatever reason, I had as 2.5-point favorites. That was as of about 8:30 Eastern, so that might have moved here. And again, it's on Tuesday. I know who I'm fading after watching last night's debacle. But let me see if you're going a little bit different here, Mike.
Yeah, easy one. Cam Newton, shoulder's not right. Offensive line is having issues. The Falcons are an aggressive pass rush. So that's a pretty easy fade. The line shocked a lot of people. The Falcons, looked pretty good. I know it's in Carolina and all, but that's
what is Ron Rivera doing? Like, why play? I listened to Cam's post-game stuff. He's like, yeah, my shoulder's not feeling right. Yeah. I don't have zip on it. And Ron Rivera comes back with,
Rivera's job is on the line, I think.
So him winning two games that don't mean anything and you go 8-8,
it's the cocoon, the NFL decision makers, that matters to them for whatever reason. So unless somebody from the organization comes to him and says, you're good, you're coming back, sit Cam down. But they don't want to do that. They want to let the coach make his own decision and give him the rope to hang himself.
So you put the star prize, possession you have in your team in peril because the guy said he can't throw. It's throwing shoulder.
Decision making. We've learned this time and time again.
Quite the opposite of optimal decision making. I mean,
didn't they do that 2 years ago when he was rushing 900 times a game? I mean,
right? Yeah. Like they have no you have a prize asset, something that other teams would covet to have that sort of physical specimen at quarterback. He's hurt. Sit him on the shelf. You have nothing to play for. You winning those two games does not, keep your job per se. So I don't know. For me, I'm locking CMC. Move on. We already know what it is. He throws a touchdown pass last night. So he does everything. The kid's special. Put him in. Put him in, set it, forget it. We know how bad Atlanta's been because of the injuries all year. With pass catching back, so if you put in what's the backup in Carolina? Is it Tyler? I forget his last name.
How many snaps has he played? Like 15 all year.
Yeah. He threw not last week, not yesterday, but last week. I know he threw that Hail Mary at the end. So whoever's back there, just trust in CMC.
Oh, the quarterback, not the backup running back.
No, the quarterback.
Quarterback.
So. So CMC and move on. All right, where are your sleepers at in this one, Jason?
Carolina, man. Despite holding Michael Thomas to 2 yards or whatever his ridiculous stat line was, still pretty much worse in the league against pass catchers. So I really like Calvin Ridley. I think most new could get a lot of targets here, but I like Ridley's upside in this game. I think they're going to try and shut down Julio. I don't think it's going to work. That usually leaves whenever a team really concentrates on Julio, usually leaves Ridley open on some stupid deep route that he's not talented enough to have that wide open. So, I really like Ridley in this one.
Cool. All right. We'll move on to those frisky Cleveland Browns, still in the playoff picture, hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. I've got an over-under of 45. Cleveland, the touchdown favorite as of this taping. Mike, I got some ideas for Fade, but wondering where you're at on a fade in this matchup.
I mean, how crazy is that? They fire their head coach and manage to put together a playoff run.
I think I heard someone say, had they fired him maybe about 3 games earlier, they'd probably be right in the thick of they'd probably have about 2 more wins, and they'd probably be
they lost a lot of really close games. I've heard people saying that they're a double-digit win team without Hugh.
That is crazy.
It's so crazy. Like a quality NFL quarterback is worth you know, maybe two wins in a season above, you know, above replacement, you know, a good quarterback, three or four. Hugh is worth like minus six wins. It's insane.
And he might get the job in Cincinnati.
Yeah, what were we just saying about the NFL decision making, Quaffle?
Oh, it's so bad.
But for a fade here, Jarvis Landry, the role has been inconsistent. It just, the rapport hasn't been there with Baker. You know, until they get their offense kind of settled, I'm not looking to use Landry anytime soon.
All right, for me, I'm locking Nick Chubb. Like the talent, he fully healed from that injury spot. You know, fully healed from that, you know, college injury. He looks like a stud. We talk about projecting for 2019. He's going to be one of those top 10 backs on a lot of people's boards. Definitely a first round back next season. But I like him in this matchup at home. Everything plays in his favor. What about a sleeper in this one, Jason?
Who would you lock? Like, would you rather go Chubb over Mixon?
Yeah, I would. I mean,
you really Mixon, would.
I respect Cleveland's defense. I think it probably was about week 7 or 8 where I was like, all right, this is kind of, you know, this got to get rid of the bias, got to get rid of the hard knocks hangover. Right. Like, they really have a representative defense. And what they did last week to Denver and Lindsay, I mean, Cleveland's defense is for real. Shout out to the guys in Lake Erie. I mean, you've got to, unlike I in Detroit, you have something to look forward to going forward, both at the quarterback position. You got Myles Garrett, you got Jabril Pepper, you got some players in Cleveland. So.
And on the Bengals side, there's nothing in the cupboard. Like, their backup quarterback, their wide receiving core is toast. Mixon is, like, the only thing that they have. And I wouldn't be shocked.
That's kind of the point. I mean,
yeah, well, the thing is,
he's going to get volume for sure, but...
Here's the thing. If the Bengals go up, I would not be shocked to see them put Mark Walton in and try to get a look at him, you know, if it's a game that they're out of early.
So did you have a sleeper for Jason?
I don't really have a sleeper for this game. Maybe Callaway.
I had Callaway.
It's a terrible Bengals defense, and you know, Callaway has been getting all the opportunity in the world to show something, and he splashes for one out of his 9 targets per game, but
it's a splash. You know, I mean, he scored on, you know, on Saturday.
No, I mean, the dude has so much upside, it's so much potential. But
and he's still just a rookie. Like, he's a great redraft option for 2019.
Exactly.
One of those flyers like Corey Coleman.
Yeah.
We can do it. We can get a board bet with Chubb and Mixon if you want to. More DK points.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
I would totally go the Mixon side.
All right, I'll go Chubb. Boom.
Nice.
Mixon is just so much more involved in the offense. I mean,
his I don't pass, disagree. His pass catching is what would worry me in that one on the Chubb side, but I would still take Chubb.
Yep. So, all right, let's move on to a game with playoff implications for one squad. Tampa Bay going to Big D to take on the Cowboys. The over-under is 46. The Cowboys a touchdown favorite. Mike, where are you looking to fade in this matchup?
I'm probably going to fade Jameis. It's on the road again. The Cowboys defense is getting back home. They're a solid defense. They're well coached. A lot of playmakers at every level, which pains me to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a good spot. I don't think for the Bucs. It's about to fall apart. The Tampa Bay, their coaches are probably, you know, packing their stuff in boxes at this point. You know,
Dirt Cutter, pick up the white courtesy phone, please. Dirt Cutter.
Yeah, and Dallas needs a bounce back here. They tend to get that at home a little bit easier. That defense, I don't want to attack it.
I hear you. That was where I had Jameis as my fade. I'm gonna lock Zeke. Bounce back game. They went up to Indy. The Cowboys traditionally have been in one of those. We don't necessarily need the win. You know, in the post Jimmy Johnson, you know, Switzer era, you know, basically the more modern time of the Cowboys, these must-win games are kind of like, you know, if we got one in the bank, which they knew they had, I mean, I think that's kind of part of what was happening with Indy. And Indy's a good team, and we'll get to them in a second.
Yeah, it was all
but, But give me Zeke in a bounce back spot against Tampa Bay. Well, and he's, and you know, I like him as the highest producing running back on the slate.
Tell me who this line sounds like. 27 attempts, 139 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Marlon Mack last week. That's an Ezekiel Elliott line.
Yep. I like Zeke to run wild here. What about a sleeper for you, Jason?
I'm gonna go Ezekiel Elliott as a sleeper. No, I mean I love Dallas in this spot. It is kind of hard to find a sleeper. I do kind of like Adam Humphries just because of his target share.
Yeah, a lot of volume.
And let me see what the actual matchup is here. Hold on, Dallas. I want to go with somebody on the Tampa Bay side, so I got to look at the Dallas defense real quick.
Wait, while you're doing that, it's not a sleeper, but I've kind of become the Amari whisperer, if I may.
You have. The record has shown. You're right. Boom bust, boom bust.
I'm getting them right. You called the bust last reason. Week. It's pretty much alternate every other game. But the Bucs secondary is easily.
This is. Yeah, this is another 200-yard spot for Amari for sure. Yeah.
I saw something interesting today about coverages and how the Cowboys are being played. And when a team plays zone against them, Dak has struggled. And when a team plays man, it's been easier for him. The Bucs switched to man when they fired Mike Smith. So could be a spot.
Jeremy put that up in the Slack.
Did he?
Sunday morning. Yeah.
All right,
I still played a lot of Amari. So. Yeah,
exactly. A sleeper for me might be Gallup. I don't know why I've got a thing for this guy, but he's this is a get right spot. Maybe they roll coverage to Amari, but again, we talked about Tampa being kind of porous defense, so that's a guy, just a name I'm throwing out there as a sleeper in this matchup. I think he's gotta emerge at some point in the season, so why not here against Tampa? So
yeah, so I just went through like my quick defensive stats and Dallas. I think I said it like 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it still holds true that they kind of they're weakest like against the middle of the field and against pass catching backs. So I mean, I wouldn't call Cameron Bray a sleeper. He's kind of the quintessential tight end for Jameis Winston.
Touchdown.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm going to take a tight end in these days.
Tight ends are so bad.
Yep.
I mean, I think Vance McDonald had like 13 yards and was like a top 5 tight end last week. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty much a wasteland. Yeah.
I'd rather take a zero. You know what I'm saying? And I'd rather pay just Stoneman for a dude that's
real
not
man
even
takes
playing.
A zero.
Real man will take a zero.
And,
all right.
Yeah, so I do kind of like Humphries in this because I think he's going to get the targets. And if the middle of the field is a little bit weaker than the outside, then
that's probably
where the points are going to come from.
Yeah,
and he's been getting the targets. So
it's not as
high upside as like a Godwin or Evans. Obviously, Evans had like 90% of Winston's yards last week, but
yep, that's a good one. So, all right, let's move on to another game with playoff implications. Obviously, the Miami Dolphins. Who would have thought that? Still in the hunt, 7-7, hosting the Jags, who are probably the league's most disappointing team, coming off what they did in 2017. The over/under is 39.5. Miami, 4.5-point favorites. It's a battle for the state of Florida. Who are you fading in this one, Mike?
Leonard Fournette. We didn't get the news prior to their game that they wanted to limit his carries, but that sounds like the case going forward. Would have been nice if a beat writer could have shaken that loose for us ahead of the game. I wasted a lot of really good lineups with Leonard Fournette as a flex, and what are you going to do? But I think it's going to continue. They're going to get a look at David Williams and see if he has a future with the organization. So
Okay. For me, I'm locking Kenny Stills. Why not? Kenny Stills from Miami. In a matchup, you know, I know the corners are still pretty good in Jacksonville, and I know Ryan Tannehill is Ryan Tannehill, but give me the upside with Stills, and I'm going to lock him in this position. What about a sleeper, Jason, in this game?
Isn't it weird that they benched that Jacksonville benched Blake, and they've kind of been worse since then?
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm going to skip the Kalen Ballage show, and I will go to Kenyon Drake. I think the Jacksonville's been exploitable on the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really have been. That's how teams have been attacking them. I don't think Gesicki's going to get it done. That's the other way people have been exploiting them. I think Drake is way better than Ballage. I think he had the blow-up week against the Pats. Did absolutely nothing last week. Frank Gore is out. I think it'll be like some kind of split. And I think Drake is the better player. I think he could surprise some people here.
Yep, nice pick. All right, we'll move it along. Houston Texans also battling, you know, the top of their division, but they want that home field throughout the AFC playoffs. They are on the road in a tough matchup with the Eagles, who got some new life. The Nick Foles show is in town.
Nick Dick
is
back.
There he is. So the over-under is 45 in this matchup. It's basically a pick-em what I had. I'm at Philadelphia at -1. So
yeah.
Where are you fading in this one, Mike? I know you'll probably be watching. You bought back into the Eagles?
There's a small part of me that hopes they lose just so people can stop talking about, you know, what do we do if Foles takes us to another Super Bowl? Like, okay, come on. Just stop it, please.
What do you do? I mean, they have an outside shot to win the division.
They do, technically, yeah, you know, but it's even if he does well, like, it, you can't think Carson Wentz was the problem. It's the, you're, it's... That's not causation is not a correlation, but as far as a fade goes, Eagles backfield pretty easy to fade. You know, the Josh Adams is going to be you know, more involved. Talk is only lasted a couple weeks. I know an injury kind of limited him. He did have a touchdown, but I don't see them scoring multiple rushing touchdowns on the Texans the way they did and shocked the Rams.
All right, so for me. With the way you describe Mr. Foles, him and his boy Alshon Jeffrey, you know, going back to the Super Bowl, they have some sort of chemistry.
Yeah, just chuck
it showed out. So give me a lock for Alshon. Him and Foles have got something going on. So that's my lock this week. What about a sleeper in this one, Jason?
I'm not sure because I'm not sure who. I'm not sure if Hop is going to play. I don't think Lamar Miller is going to play. I don't really know. I mean, Alfred Blue, mm-hmm. Probably. Like that.
Do we see our first sighting of Donta Foreman?
I would love to see that. I have him on my dynasty roster. But I mean, this is going to be a rough game. I think. Okay.
Yeah, I think the Texans have played really sloppy games all season, and the Eagles obviously have as well. I think this is going to be an ugly one.
Yeah,
the Texans are one of those teams that like they just limit you enough so they can win.
Yeah,
yep,
that's all they do.
Yep.
It's not an exciting football game to watch most of the time.
Yeah, but they're in double-digit wins and leading the AFC South. So yeah,
they're not good wins. You know, it's not like the Chiefs going out and scoring 20 more than an opponent, or the Rams or any of the good teams. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
The high power offensive teams.
Okay. Yeah, I would say if you're betting this one, I'd take the under in this one. So.
Yeah, I mean, just one of the I would just, like, as a sleeper, just whoever the starting Houston running back is, that's probably where I'd go.
Okay.
But I just think this is going to be a kind of a nasty game.
Yep.
And I'm going to take a break real quick, so you guys talk about this next game.
Okay.
And then I'll be back for the one after that.
We'll rock it out. All right. So the Giants are going to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. The Colts, right there in the thick of the playoff race as well. The over-under is 47. The Colts are 10-point favorites at home. Mike, why don't you take fade, and I'll bring up the rear with lock and sleeper.
So if OBJ is out again, which you have to think he's going to be, there's no sense playing him. The season's lost.
Right.
You know, the Giants are stupid. They still have Eli Manning. They're talking about bringing him back.
Oh, gosh. That's good for you. It's in your division.
Oh, God, the NFC East is thrilled. They're like, oh, our defenses are going to rack up sacks. This is amazing. that may just be bad sources or whatever. But, if OBJ is out, I know Sterling Shepard burned people last week. They may be tempted to try it again. I would stay away. The Colts are a pretty solid secondary. So no Sterling Shepard for me.
We've done the show way too long because that was my fade as well. Stay away from Sterling Shepard. There's no reason to go there at all. There's no reason to go. If you get any passing game elements from New York, it's probably Evan Engram. I don't want anything else passing-wise from New York. For me, the lock is Andrew Luck. He is in the zone. He is locked up. I mean, the Giants defense on the road. I think this is a get right spot for them, even though they did well. I mean, he didn't have like super gaudy numbers last week against Dallas, but he did well and they did well off the win and they're right there in the thick and they want to get in the postseason. So give me Andrew Luck as a lock and then a sleeper, which I don't know, coming off that kind of line that you just laid two games
Marlon ago Mack.
With Marlon Mack. Yeah, but he's a sleeper. He's still not a household name, right? I mean, even in DFS circles, people use him, but he's just not a household name. So give me Marlon Mack as a sleeper in this one because people are going to go to the Zeke's, the CMC's of the world. So go ahead and give me Marlon Mack and lock it up.
Right before the bye, Marlon Mack had a couple like huge games.
Yeah.
And, right before Andy's bye, and this is a spot where he could have another one of those huge, like 30-point games. I really believe that.
I can see that in a range of outcomes for sure. Yeah. So, all right, let's move on to a very interesting game, just because one of these teams is trending in the wrong direction in December. It's not good, and that is those high-powered LA Rams going to Arizona and hopefully a get-right spot against the Cardinals. 47.5 is the over/under. Rams, 2-touchdown favorites on the road. Mike, who are you fading? I wonder if you'd fade someone that would be on the Rams.
Yeah, I'm going to make your job as a lock a little harder here, Quaffle. I'm going to fade Todd Gurley.
Okay.
Mostly because he's got the knee issue, and the Cardinals don't present much of a challenge, I don't think. Like you said, the Rams are going in the wrong direction against some opponents that they maybe shouldn't. But I think this is an easily won game for LA. They get up early, and Todd Gurley spends a good portion of the game on the bench.
With that towel over his head, right? He usually goes with a towel over his head. Yeah. And they just signed C.J. Anderson, I saw. So maybe they're not – I mean, and it sounded like Gurley's day-to-day. So maybe that knee injury may be a little bit more bothersome than they're letting on, so that's probably actually a good fade.
Yeah, John Kelly could be a nice. I guess I shouldn't steal a sleeper, but.
Well, I'm gonna go with a lock in this one, and I know Patrick Peterson's on the other side, but the production since Cooper Kupp has been gone has been there, and it's Robert Woods. I mean, he gets a lot of those slant routes, he gets those quick hitters. He can also stretch the field. They move him around a lot. Talking about even though they've had the losing streak, I still am a McVay guy. I think he's a great offensive mind. And so let me get Robert Woods as my lock in this one. Jason, who you have as a sleeper in the Rams-Cardinals matchup?
Man, there's not a lot of sleepers here. David Johnson, he's going to go underlooked for sure. I think he could definitely feast in this matchup. John Kelly, if Gurley doesn't go, is going to be one of those like Jalen Samuels and those guys a couple weeks ago. Yeah, other than that,
especially if you're playing the late game slate, that's
like the defenses.
I think John Kelly's a sneaky one.
Yeah,
the defenses could be like really good in this game. Mm-hmm. I mean, other than that, like there's just not a whole lot like of with how the Rams have been playing lately, with how Arizona's been playing all season. I mean, it's not a bright spot. I mean, if I were betting this, I would definitely take Arizona to cover that spread.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, 14 points, like two touchdowns.
On the road. Like, that's a lot. Yeah,
I mean.
Okay. Makes sense. All right, well, let's move on to a game that has some implications in the NFC. That is the Bears, the champs of my division, the NFC North, going out to San Francisco to take on the Niners. The over-under is 42.5. The Bears are 4.5-point road favorites. Mike, where are you looking at in the fade realm here?
Nick Mullins is a pretty easy fade for me. I know we're probably not itching to use Nick Mullins, but he's shown some flashes in a couple of spots recently. The Bears' defense is just too good, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they have a championship-level defense. We talked about it last week. They showed up against the Packers. I mean, Packers still put up 17, but Chicago's defense is for real. It's legit. I've seen it. They can go. In terms of a lock for me, Tarik Cohen is my lock. He's getting a lot of usage. You know, Howard had a decent game last week as well, but Cohen is the guy I think they want to use. They want to get him in, you know, multiple spots on the field and get him the football. So I like him out there in the track in Santa Clara. So what about a sleeper for you in this matchup, Jason?
I'm just looking at the totals that the guys have put up against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Teams tend to throw a lot on Chicago. I guess that's just a circumstance that they have, you know, a really good run defense, and they have put so much pressure on the quarterback that you just kind of like throw it a lot, whether it's a actual intended target or just throwing it away. This is another one of those more difficult ones for me to kind of figure out without my full projections. This is a...
What about staying on the Bears' side of the ball? I know a guy I looked at as a sleeper in this one is Jordan Howard, right? People sour on him.
That was my first instinct. But yeah. I don't necessarily like that. Like, I mean, it's in San Francisco, right?
It is, like, yep.
That's not typically a spot I would go to Howard in.
Okay.
I mean... I kind of want to stay with the home team. Okay. I mean, Kittle's not really a sleeper. He should be fine. I mean, if the top tight end scores 10 points, Kittle should be top five.
Right.
At least. I might go back to Dante Pettis. I think San Francisco has been really competitive when they've been at home.
Okay.
I'm a little bit worried. I'm always worried about when teams cross the country. This is a later game, and it's the East Coast team going to the West Coast, which is a little bit safer, I guess. But it could add something to the fatigue of the team. So yeah, I'll probably just go back to Dante Pettis in this one.
All right.
It's kind of, I mean, these offenses are pretty well defined at this point. We kind of know where everything's going.
Exactly. All right. We'll move on to a game that'll be a lot of fun from a viewing standpoint, we think. And that's Pittsburgh going to the Bayou to take on the Saints in a battle of both teams with definite playoff implications in this one. The over-under is 53.5. New Orleans right now, 6-point favorites. This might be tough for you, Mike, but see if you can find the fade.
Yeah, I mean, I hope this game lives up to the billing in a much better way than the Pats Steelers did.
Right.
As far as that, though, I feel like it will, and I think that means that Mark Ingram kind of gets game scripted out, and it becomes an Alvin Kamara game again. you know, when they need plays, I think Kamara's the guy they're going to go to. You know, the Steelers, they've got a solid run defense, and their defense has definitely been improving. So I'd fade Mark Ingram here.
Okay. For me, I'm going to lock up who I think is probably the potential league MVP, and that's Drew Brees. You know, the Saints, I think, are more run heavy with those two, you know, backs there with Kamara and Ingram. But it's at the Dome. It's, you know, it's not prime time, but it's basically prime time at the, you know, the four o'clock, the late slate of games there. I like his matchup. The Steelers defense, you know, showed up a little bit last week against the Patriots, but you wonder if that's more Patriots ineptitude or if that's, you know, Steelers showing up. I mean, Joe Hayden still got some gas left in the tank, but give me Drew Brees at home with a chance to get that one seed locked up. And kind of similar to New England, if New Orleans is going to have home field throughout the playoffs, I don't see an NFC team going in there. Even Chicago, I don't see an NFC team going in New Orleans and beating them and stopping them from getting to the Super Bowl. So give me Drew Brees as a lock. What about a sleeper there, Jason?
My sleeper was going to be Drew Brees.
No! Okay.
He's had three road games, disappointed in the last three games. The Saints score about 10 points more at home. I think it's like 9 or 10 points more at home than they do on the road. Mm-hmm. And just like, you know, he's still completing like over 70% of passes. He's going up against a high-powered offense. Big Ben has his home road split. So does Drew. Ben's are not as noticeable on outside of the 1 o'clock games, the early games. The Saints defense is awesome. I think, man, this is like one of those ones where you either go high or you go low. Because both defenses are pretty good, and the offenses both can put up like 40 points at will, basically. So, right. Yeah, but Drew is who I had down as a sleeper, so we'll just
we'll do that. Sleeper. Lock and sleep for Drew there. Play Drew Brees, basically, especially if you're playing that. All right, we'll move on to the Sunday night affair. Another good game, should be good. Also playoff implications, and I keep pointing that out because you definitely want to be thinking about that this late in the season in terms of your roster builds and whatnot, like who's got something to play for, who's, you know, in the playoff mix. And so the Chiefs coming off that loss at home to the Chargers are going out west to a very tough place to play in Seattle in the 12th man on Sunday Night Football. 53 is the over-under. The Chiefs, 2.5-point favorites on the road. I'm wondering where you're thinking about for a fade in this one, Mike.
So I'm going to fade Spencer Ware if he's active. Signs are pointing to him playing. I think he's going to lose two pretty important pieces of the running back puzzle. Damian Williams showed he's a very effective pass catcher and a bit of a spark plug. So he's going to lose passing work. And they used Darrell Williams in the red zone a good bit against the Chargers. You know, will that continue? I don't know with two other backs active, but it's possible. You know, he's kind of a stout running back, runs hard. So Spencer Ware could be looking at, you know, between the 20s work without passing game options. So give me him as a fade.
Okay. I have my lock in this one. He has proven me wrong all season, and so why not stick with this guy? Super efficient, and that's Russell Wilson. At home, you know, Doug Baldwin got back involved in the game last week. You know, Tyler Lockett is still there. You know, he's got these receivers that don't really excite you. They're no Julio Jones or OBJs, but they just get the job done. They've moved to a more run-based offense, but when they do pass, he's efficient. He's scoring. He's still got the rushing upside. So give me Russ Wilson as my lock in this matchup. What about a sleeper, Jason, on the Sunday night game, which should be a fun one to watch?
Yeah, this will be a great one. Yeah. I love Doug Baldwin. He seems healthy. I don't think last week was a fluke. I think that's more of what we see to come. I also still love Tyler Lockett. So I'm just going to lock up those two guys as my sleepers. I haven't looked at prices and stuff yet this week.
So on the Sunday, Monday slate, they are about the same price, 57 and 55. I haven't looked at them on the Showdown slate. If you're thinking about... go ahead.
That's a ridiculous price for what you have the potential for. I mean, for either one of them, really.
Would you think about, if you're just playing a Showdown slate for the Sunday night affair, would you play both of those receivers in a build? So, like, go Russell and stack them with the two wideouts?
Yeah, because there's the potential for... It's a more concentrated offense, and you're at home. Kansas City, like, I love Pat. I love Pat Mahomes. Yeah. I've been talking about Pat Mahomes since week one. But the offense is a little bit more spread out. Like we talked about, like week three or week four, I forget. He had already thrown touchdown passes to like 12 different people.
Right.
How many touchdown passes has Russell Wilson thrown to different people? I mean,
yeah,
like maybe four different guys.
Yeah, I mean,
and one of them's, two of them are on the IR. So I mean, and Russ has been hyper efficient in the red zone. I love both those guys.
I could see a build with Russ, those two. If you can fit Carson, throw him in, and then one of the Williams boys on the Kansas City side, flip it and put them in there. And I think you gotta, if you can make it fit, because I haven't seen pricing on a Showdown slate, I think that would be a way to go. So a little bit different because a lot of people want to put the Kansas City players in. So let's close out shop with the Monday night affair. Just go, you know, get ready for Christmas. Don't bother with this one. Denver is at Oakland. It's 44.5. I mean, I guess if you need some action, if you're Jones in, go ahead and maybe play the Showdown slate of this one.
We're all degenerates here.
Yeah, so that's probably true. 44.5 is the over under. Denver is a 2.5-point road favorite. You know, if you're not going to be drinking eggnog, Mike, who are you going to fade in this one?
I mean, tough to call somebody a true fade because it's pretty consolidated. but you know, I would fade Doug Martin. The Broncos have been a pretty solid run defense. They've let up a little bit more in the last couple of weeks, but against pretty good matchups. So a running game that's not stellar like the Raiders doesn't seem to fare well.
They need to bring Tyrone Wheatley back, right? Since that's what Gruden likes to do, these old guys. So, all right, Charlie Garner, where are you at? Pick up the phone, please. For me, my lock is the newly minted Pro Bowl running back, Philip Lindsay. You know, he didn't have the greatest game against Cleveland, but we talked about, I think, those defensive, you know, issues with Cleveland and how much better they are than I think people give him credit for. Not so the problem with Oakland. Oakland sucks, and I think Lindsay on Monday night, he looked pretty excited. They did, I think NFL Network did a piece with him, so he looked pretty excited about making the Pro Bowl, and he well deserved too. He's had a great season, so he's my lock on the Monday night show. What about sleeper in this one, Jason?
I know Deshaun Hamilton is getting a lot of love these days.
That's who I had down, but you're going to go somewhere else.
I actually like Tim Patrick a little bit more in this matchup.
Okay.
And it's just that Oakland is so slow. I'm fine with Hamilton, but I actually prefer
Patrick.
Yeah.
Mike knows about Hamilton, right? That's a Penn State boy. That's a Penn State guy.
Yeah, Deshaun. Yeah, he's a good receiver.
Yeah, so. All right. So we have made it through the full slate of games. 16 weeks in the books here. 16 games on the slate. So it should be a fun slate. Hopefully opposite of what we saw in week 15. Let's go with a fade of the week. So, Mr. Alexander, can you give us a fade of the week?
Fade of the week. I'm going to hit Todd Gurley as a fade of the week. I don't think the Rams have any reason to expose him. I think they're going to get John Kelly reps in practice and see that they've got a perfectly viable option against a very bad run defense.
All right. For me, my lock of the week is from your Fly Eagles Fly, Alshon Jeffrey. I was going to go him or Zeke Elliott. Zeke is too easy. Let's go with Alshon. Let's go with Alshon as a lock. What about a sleeper of the week, Jason?
I'm trying to go over my notes for the games real quick and see which one's going to be the hottest take, you know?
Uh-oh, flaming hot take incoming.
It's probably going to be terrible, and I'll probably change it like 2 days from now. That's why you got to be in the Slack, so I could be like, oh, no, hold on, I thought about that.
You got Pettis against the Bears.
Oh, man. No, that's terrible.
Humphreys against Dallas.
No, that's probably a good one. Let's do Humphreys against Dallas.
I really like that one. He's putting up double-digit PPR points pretty easily in a lot of weeks.
Right. Yeah, and that Dallas can be had in the middle, too. Yeah, that's and true. It's in Tampa, right?
No, it's in Dallas.
Oh, it's in Dallas.
Ooh. But all the more better. I mean, Dallas is going to be ears pinned back and raring to go at Jameis, and he's going to be wanting to get that rid of that ball quick. So I like that. And you're right. I think Dallas can be had over the middle.
It's such a volatile spot. Like, anytime you have, like, Tampa Bay offense, you're like, ooh, they're going to score 40, or Jameis is going to turn the ball over 900 times. Like, you only had 40 possessions. How could you turn the ball over 900 times?
Like trying to hold mercury, right? You don't know what's going to go on with that. So
it's so volatile.
Exactly. Well, it's been fun again, guys. Week 16 in the book. Any parting shots for our listeners, Mike?
Be careful this week. You highlighted a lot of playoff implications, and we saw that hurt a lot of people in week 16, 15, so be careful in week 16.
Exactly. Jason, anything close up shop for you?
Got knocked out of my two playoffs because Lamar Miller scored 0.8 points. So
happens the best of us. I got knocked out of two leagues I was very much concerned with, and so I will be DFSing it full bore this week. So
going into my money league with a full strength Melvin Gordon, and so against Baltimore, which is great. Nice. It's fantastic. Where were you last week, buddy? And the other two leagues.
That's what I was saying. So all right. Well, and don't forget, guys, we'll get that probably in the notes for this episode, but definitely through Slack and through both Twitter and the different mediums, we'll get you the link to the lowball contest for week 16 as well. So be on the lookout for that as well. So for Jason and for Mike, this is Quaffo signing off for week 16, wishing you lots of luck and fortune in the DFS world. Take it easy, y'all.